One thing that the first thing that Peter calls attention to is his eyewitness testimony. And I think that's very important because, and he's assuming that his readers are aware of what happened on the Mountain of Transfiguration. And if you're aware of what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration, you're probably aware of the character of Peter's life, and I'm going to say before and after the crucifixion. And I think that that's very important because what Peter, I believe, is calling attention to is the change in his own life from having known the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's saying, if you're aware of what I was, and are you aware of what I am now? Because it's night and day. And that has all come from seeing the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and having received that divine nature and having received the Holy Spirit, the change that is evident in Peter. Now, this is important because this same change has to be evident in us. If I'm behaving the same way as an unbeliever, then there's no change and there's no difference. If I'm acting as one who is still a partaker of that corrupt nature, that old man, I'm not partaking the divine nature, then then my eyewitness, then my testimony has no bearing. But Peter is saying there was a change in me because I saw the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we, through the Holy Spirit, through this divine nature, are also witnesses of this same glory. And so this same change should be evident in us. And my behavior as such is one of the most important witnesses that we have.
I think that's absolutely right, Joey. And it was the one thing that really struck me at the beginning of this chapter also. If we read the Gospels and then were blindly given the book of 2 Peter, we wouldn't be able to guess who wrote it. But here we have 2 Peter, the man who cut off Malchus's ear, who says he's going to go first in everything, calls himself a servant in verse 1. That's an incredible change. And I think the greatest example we have for the truth of Christianity is the effect it's had on people. We can look throughout Scripture of men who were the wickedest men you could find suddenly being used for God's glory. Think of the Apostle Paul. You can't get any worse than that. And yet this man would write half of the New Testament for us. A complete change. The greatest example, the greatest proof of Christianity is the effect it has on individual lives.
Yeah, like they've been saying, I think it ultimately comes down to, like in verse 3, the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. I just think it's really interesting that it is Peter who wrote this, because I think he was revealed, he's enabled to write this because of what he'd been through. In verse 10, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing for you, and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Well, Peter stumbled. You know, he denied Christ 3 times, and then going back to the knowledge, you wonder how much he knew Christ at the time, because Christ knew he was going to deny him, but Peter denied that he would, and he did. And so I think it's really neat to see that Peter has now practiced these things, and now he can, you know, tell us to do the same. And much like, I think it's really interesting too, in the book of Matthew, we find that Jesus was raised. He grew up however many years, and then he was baptized, and then he was tempted by the devil, and then he started preaching. You know, he went through all that. So I just think, and obviously he never fell, but I just think it's interesting that it is Peter who's telling us these things. And yet again, it comes back to we shall know that it is because of knowledge of Christ that we have.
There's also the very practical thing that comes out that if Peter hadn't seen the Lord Jesus after he was resurrected, I think he would tell us. Because Peter was one who was very real, and he was in the position, and it was well known, he denied Christ. And if he hadn't had another experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, why would Peter ever be writing these things to us? It's very practical. If they hadn't known the Lord Jesus Christ, why would Peter be doing what he's doing? He was a fisherman. Now he's one who is literally about to die for the Lord Jesus Christ. What is his participation in this gained him at all? It's just it's a very practical thing.
So Benjamin, you spoke of changes that come about because of Christianity. And I think the common thread, if you would, is that they saw the Lord. Mm-hmm. So here was Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. They were there with the Lord. Now weakness came in where they fell asleep, right? And perhaps we might have some right here now who are suffering from the weakness of the body. You're tired, long drives yesterday. Sometimes it's the mental discipline in a conference like this. As you grow, you are able to take in more. And so now maybe you are drowsy or sleeping. And that's what happened to the disciples. And they were with the Lord. But then they, you know, the Lord was transfigured before them. They saw Moses, they saw Elijah, they saw the Lord transfigured before them. They saw these men talking with the Lord. It impacted them. Where Peter could say, I was an eyewitness of his majesty. You say, look, you have the Epicureans, the Stoics, Agnostics, they're running around saying all kinds of things. The Sadducees, the Pharisees, all kinds of religious teachings. He said, I don't care what they're saying. I was an eyewitness of his majesty. And what was that? What did they witness was really what was connected to his coming glorious kingdom. And you see, young people, I think that, and we skipped over this because of time, but in verse 11, it says, For so an entrance shall be, or road into, shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What was the motivating force behind Peter's energy and the life that he sought to live was the Lord and the fact that God was going to bring in this everlasting kingdom. Paul was caught up. And what Paul presents to Timothy is the glorious appearing of Christ. So how should we live? We live in light of the fact that there is the glory that will that the Lord will come with great power and glory. We will come with him. And if these things don't change us here, because you know what? You're not going to be a multimillionaire. And even if you were, you're not going to be satisfied. You're not going to be in the White House. You're not going to... All the things that men have as aspirations down here, let me tell you something. They get them and they are dissatisfied. There's void, emptiness. But Peter is saying here, let me tell you, fairy tales and fables and all this nonsense, he says, I was there in the Holy Mount. And not only did I see the Lord transfigured, I heard the voice from heaven. I think on the road when Paul was struck down, only he heard the voice, right? The others, they just heard some rumbling. Paul heard the voice. Peter said, I heard the voice from the excellent glory. And so the question to you and I, young people, is what is motivating us? What is energizing us spiritually? Have we been eyewitnesses of his majesty? Not literally there in the mount, but have we had an encounter where we could say, I know without a shadow of a doubt that the Lord Jesus, who I put my trust in, that in his coming kingdom, he will be in display. And that's the prize. That's what I'm holding on to, because that's what's going to make us real.